Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My wife and I were watching the TV program named Bull a couple of years ago. In this episode, Bull, who's played by Michael Weatherly, you've got his picture there, defends a young girl who is abducted by an online predator. In the courtroom, the young girl testifies about her kidnapper's abduction and his abuse of her. Bull's trial team then helps the young girl and coaches her lawyer to a victory for her. It seems like all is well. The girl has returned to her mother and to her former life. She's gone home, and she's been brought back from the edge, so to speak. The very last scene, however, shows her starting up her computer to go online again. The message seems to be about the desire or temptation to return to the danger of her previous life, trolling the internet, and possibly to get sucked in again to the evil that she has been saved from. The Bible puts this graphically when it says in 2 Peter, speaking of them, that is unbelievers, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to his vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. I witnessed the truth of this Bible verse firsthand one day when one of my daughter's dogs, Xena on this handout of yours, deposited her meal on the kitchen floor. Xena, a beautiful husky, then went right back and was sniffing around at what she had done, and so I shooed her away. Then came Coda, the other dog, and he's a shepherd mix, in case you're wondering. He also comes up to sniff, and I shooed Coda away. God uses such graphic illustrations about animals, well, first of all, because they're true. I saw it that day. But to get our attention about spiritual matters, because he loves us and doesn't want us to lose our salvation by returning to our lives of sin. We have a tendency to return to things we shouldn't go back to return to things we would like to forget or would be best to avoid. That is our nature. We still have that old Adam, that old sinful nature in us, even those of us who are redeemed. It can be a bad relationship. It can be sins we were once involved in. Here we could be talking about the alcoholic or drug abuser returning to their former lives. We could be talking about the shoplifter or town gossip returning to their petty sins. It could even be as simple as us being impatient or curt after we had just swore we would not lose our temper again. We might try to rationalize, deny, or blame others for our moral relapses and failures. In many and various ways, our sinful nature, Satan, and the sinful world we live in, try to consistently draw us back into the sins that God wants us to leave behind. This is the topic that Paul, in our epistle lesson from Romans for today, is bringing to the plate, to the attention of the Roman Christians in the first century, but of course, to us here today as well. The early Christians were constantly tempted to return to the sins of their pagan past, and as we have said many times, Rome in those days was a very immoral society. There was a lot for them to depart from. They were much as America, folks, is becoming today. Like the Roman Christians, we may reenact history and have our own Garden of Eden experience. So in the garden, some 4,500 years ago, Satan the serpent tricked Eve and said to her, "Hath God really said that you should not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Likewise, Satan tricks us about our moral failures and relapses by saying things like, "God is going to forgive you." And of course he is. What's one more time going to hurt? God and his angels will be there to pick you up and help you pick up the pieces again, says Satan. He's done it in the past, so just go ahead, do it. And then we wake up with the consequences and the guilt that follow. Paul sees this sort of stuff happening to the Roman Christians. He sees them being misled to believe that the good news of Jesus and his forgiveness is a license to continue in sin. He sees them returning to their earlier lives and their pagan practices. He knows where this thinking is leading them and the pain they will experience, and of course the danger to their faith. And he says, what shall we then say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? This is a call to repentance, a reminder of whose they are as Christians and how far they have come. Paul, I think, as I read this text, is softer here. I think because he knows that many of them are already reeling from the weight of their sins, from their poor decisions and their life choices. He's speaking to them as individuals, but also as a local congregation in Rome in those days, as the body of Christ. He sees their pain and how they've lost their way. Paul's words to the Roman Christians are also a call for us today. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you know the guilt of doing it again. Maybe you know how it feels when you haven't been able to keep that New Year's resolution for more than just a few days. How many of us have found it impossible to meet somebody the next day that we sinned against the day before? Or get out of bed the next morning because of what happened the day before. Still, God can use our past pain, and some lessons should be remembered. We need to reflect on the past to the point that we learn from it. Some of us do it out loud as we walk around the house and we talk to ourselves and we talk to the mirror about some situation that has happened. My wife draws my attention to this habit of mine when she says, why are you talking to yourself? Why not talk to God or talk to me? But self-examination is indeed a healthy part of the Christian life. There is a place for it. It should be done to some degree. Forgiveness cannot be fully appreciated without self-examination, without seeing our sins. But sometimes we get stuck at this point, and there are markers to watch for which indicate that we may be stuck. How do we deal with this getting stuck and this temptation, maybe because we are stuck and the guilt begins to build to just kind of fall back into our old ways? We have markers alongside the roads right now, don't we, folks? We've got enough snow. My next-door neighbor has about 10 markers on her side of the street marking it, I think, so the snowplow will do a better job of plowing it. But we have markers out there so we don't get stuck in the snow someplace by accidentally driving into a ditch or driving over a curb in the parking lot and knocking our wheels out of alignment or bending a rim. Well, sometimes anger, fear, and depression are markers. They're spiritual markers. And I think in a good way. They highlight our pain over our sins and point us to our need to repent and to trust in Jesus' forgiveness. Yet sometimes a return day in and day out to even these markers can let us know if we're spiritually stuck. The sin we committed happened 6 months ago, and we're still going back to that depression or guilt that we have over that sin. At some point, the past must remain in the past, or at least in God's hands and through his forgiveness. We must move on. And in our text for today, Paul invites us to do this. Paul tells us in Romans that we are dead to sin. To say that we are dead to sin is actually a powerful message of grace and love on the part of our God. Regarding all those sins that your memory, others, and Satan continually remind you of, Paul is here reminding you that they have no power over you anymore as a believer in Christ. Because Jesus has paid the price for your sins through his death on the cross. And because by God's grace through faith you now trust in Christ, you have received that forgiveness personally. And you live in it. You are dead to sin. When a person is forgiven by God, all of his sins are now powerless over him. And so it can be said that these sins and their power have been killed, figuratively speaking. To turn this around, Paul says, you are now dead to sin as well. Your sins have been killed, and you are dead to them. Sin can no longer take you down for the count. Can't do it. Your sins can no longer separate you from God and His love. How's that, you say? Imagine we have a car with a sports bumper sticker, and I debated using the Vikings in this illustration today. But I am not a fair-weather fan. So you have a car with a Vikings sports bumper sticker on it. Wherever the car goes, guess what happens? The bumper sticker goes also, right? Whatever the car experiences, the bumper sticker experiences. If the car is parked in a comfortable, warm garage, then the bumper sticker stays warm and cozy. If the car gets dirty, the bumper sticker gets dirty. If the car is hit and damaged on the rear end, and very few people put bumper stickers on the front, but I've seen some, guess what? The bumper sticker might be scratched and damaged also. Our text tells us today that just as the bumper sticker is attached to the car, so through our faith in Christ, we are attached to Him. Just as the bumper sticker shares in the car's experience, so we, through our faith and baptism, share in Jesus' experience. We share in His suffering and death, and we share in His resurrection. We share in His eternal life, and we will have a resurrected body like Him one day in heaven as well. He owns us, and He has called us through the gospel of forgiveness. He has made us His own through baptism and the Word. And He carries us through this life, just like the car carries the bumper sticker, and He carries us into the life to come. What is His is ours. He calls us daily to return, not to our sins, but to God in repentance and faith. To enjoy living a new life that starts here, it's already started, folks, but it ends in eternity, when we are raised from the dead to join Him in heaven. With all this good news in mind, Paul now exhorts us to live as one who is forgiven by Christ, a child of God, and to not return to the sins we once partook of. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses truly only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.